Good evening, everyone. We'll call the October 23rd, 2006 session of the City Council to order. Let the record show that all council members are present, and we'll begin with a moment of silence. Even from Otis. Thank you. And that little sound that you hear in the background is Otis, son of Becca, who is from our harbor department, and she's going to lead us in the pledge tonight with Otis's help.
Join me with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is Becca Kelly. Becca, tell us a little bit about yourself and that little bundle in your arms.
This is Otis, my son. I have my husband, Mike, here tonight, and my dad, Tom, visiting from Phoenix, Arizona. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up here in Morro Bay. I attended UC Santa Cruz. I have a degree in biology. I worked as a marine biologist up in Alaska, Hawaii, and Mexico, and for the fish and game here in Morro Bay. I was hired on about 6 years ago to the Harbor Department as a reserve. I worked as a reserve also for the fire department and 2 years as the junior lifeguard coordinator. I recently was brought on full-time to the Harbor Patrol and look forward to a long career, raise my family, and have a good time here in Morro Bay and assist the community as best I can. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Otis is destined for a career in showbiz. He wants to get that mic in his hand. Okay, Mayor and Council Member, an announcement. Got several things to talk about this evening. Most of these come from a wonderful update that the City Manager gives us now, and it gets all kinds of information that I can share with all of you. Starting today, Highway 41 is going to be rubberized. They're going to put rubberized asphalt on Highway 41, and you can expect as long as 20-minute delays between now and November 30th. So you might want to watch that and plan on that if you're going to go over Highway 41 to get anywhere. This Saturday, the 28th, we're having a fire department open house. I'm guessing that somebody else is going to talk about that, right? Okay, so I won't go into detail. This was really good news. If you recall, Alana Williams, the young girl who nearly drowned north of Morro Rock in February, has returned to school. She's back in school after months of rehabilitation. We're very grateful to hear that. Yeah. On October 25th, as part of the annual Diablo Canyon exercise, the city will activate its Emergency Operations Center, which will be set up in our community center. And it'll be they'll be participating between 8 and 11 a.m. And this one's interesting, too. We're all concerned with our fishing industry and how we can revitalize it, and there are plans afoot to do just that. The two local boats, the Diane Susan and the Arguero, are due in soon, and they are both using traps instead of the trawling gear and for black cod. So we're hoping that that's going to be an environmentally friendly way of catching this fish and make it productive again for our harbor. And the last thing that I just want to say is, as you're looking at your thick book of ballot, think about local initiatives and local concerns. If you are so inclined, look at those first before you go back and do all the state initiatives. There's a lot of stuff to consider. Don't forget how important the local things are going to be for us right here. And other announcements? Melody?
I've got plenty of announcements. One of them, last time I talked about the little kites at the Kite Festival, but I didn't have any. But now in the back, you'll see there's this nice box of kites. They're selling for $5 a piece to support the Morro Bay Kite Festival, which will occur the last weekend of April in 2007. They're $5 a piece tonight, but I've been told that when the next shipment comes in, they're going to $6. If they're not a kite, they're a cute little thing to hang on any kid. Christmas is coming up by dozens. Then the other part of my announcement is about electricity and the usage of it. So I could probably ask Nancy to... there's my fabulous electric bill. I decided that it's not good to sit up here and talk about climate change and greenhouse gases if I wasn't going to do something, and I couldn't afford a Prius, so I went and bought an Energy Star refrigerator, and I had to look hard to find one, actually, and I had to pay more for it. And then I also went and put a couple of these little light bulbs in. So if I can get the camera up here, they're called eco bulbs, or I call them like ugly bulbs, but these are compact fluorescents. And so I went down to Miners. I tried to buy an $8 one, but they're actually having a sale on these. Four of them for $4, supported by PG&E, because they want us to move to these. And so I put two compact fluorescents in the house, one Energy Star refrigerator, and my electric bill went down from $28 the month before to $11 the following month. I mean, that was it astounded me. And then when I looked at usage in kilowatt hours, it went down from, I think, 10.5 to 3.5. So I know that the fire station has got all compact fluorescents, which I think is a very great thing. I just hope that they all got the $4 deal. These are available at Miners, but I'm telling you that the first four people who come up to me in the break, I'll give you one of these. Take it home, try it out. They have a tendency to kind of warm up and look bright after a minute, but it's sort of like you turn the light on, you go, what's that? You know, it's kind of dim. You turn around, you turn back, and it's 100 watts. And my energy bill just went down. And then the next thing that Nancy's going to show, and that's really small, but if you could kind of zoom in it, maybe. There we go. Very next day, I look in the New York Times, and here's a table of things you can do to cut back. And so there's your two cool white compact fluorescent bulbs. He says it takes you about 20 minutes. It doesn't cost you much more. In fact, it costs less than light bulbs. And you can reduce your CO2 emissions 300 pounds per year just by doing that. The next thing was power strips with surge protectors. Turn them off at night. Just bother to kind of go put your foot on, turn it off at night, put your foot on, turn it on at night. That surge strip going off at night will save you 315 pounds in greenhouse gas emissions. Very simple ways that we can all kind of do that. And while we're cutting back on greenhouse gas emissions, we're also certainly cutting down on the need for any new power plants. Yesterday, I had the good fortune to talk to one of the crew members on the Lynx. You know, the Lynx is the pirate ship that came in on Friday. And this young person, she's 28 years old. She's from Colorado. And she just gushed about this town. She absolutely says, of all the ports she's been into, this is the best town of all of them. And I said, well, could you please tell me a little bit about why it seems so nice to you? And she said that the reason she liked Morro Bay, and she's just walking up from the marina, so she's heading downtown Morro Bay and out towards Quintana, was that everybody here is so friendly. And I just love that. She says people would talk to her at Farmer's Market. She went to Farmer's Market and just loved it. The generosity of some people who heard where she was from, that she had no money, were giving her magnetic bracelets to cure infections and stuff. And she just roared about this town. So I would think that it would be really important for us, and I see the chair of the Promotions Committee, to keep accentuating the fact that we are polite, we're friendly, we're generous in this town. And that's that small town attitude that people love about us. The last thing, and I know I'm kind of long-winded tonight, but we get this little quarterly report on the sales tax update. And so I'm always curious as to who the leaders are and what's moving Morro Bay along. And you know that I'm kind of an advocate for the North Morro Bay business area. So I just wanted to say that while the Embarcadero and downtown districts remain about the same, the Quintana Road business area came up 0.6%. The North Morro Bay business area that I personally believe is under attack right now rose by 3.6% over the same quarter last year. In other words, that business is viable in North Morro Bay, and it's proven by the facts. Thank you.
Bill?
No.
Betty?
I believe it's tomorrow night in this room. The EPA will be holding a public meeting on the air effects from the power plant. It's open to the public, looking for your comments. It's from 6 to 9 in the Vets Hall, in this very room. That's tomorrow night from 6 to 9. Don't have to stay for the whole thing. Drop in, drop out. But I hope that there will be a people here to show the EPA that we're concerned about our power plant.
Dad? Okay. Closed session report. Rob?
Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, Councilman, on closed session on one item, that was personnel issues. Discussion was regarding the annual evaluation of the city attorney and the city manager. No action was taken by the council. It requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay. All right. We'll start our public comment period. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. And we do have the lineup now on this side of the room where all those people are sitting. So come forward.
Good evening. Richard Sadowski, Ocean Outfall Group, Central Coast. We're known as the Cougars. Between the 18th and the 20th, the Ocean Outfall Group had attended the first annual drought and human health conference held by the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. It was emceed by an old colleague of mine, Dr. Darrell W. Pepper, who I worked with back in the late 80s testing his scramjet models. He's a scientist of hypersonic fluid dynamics and also the dean at the UNLV University. And one of the main issues that came out of that conference is the need of involving the mechanical engineering society in integrating the water issue problems and that facet of engineering with regards to the watershed-wide problems that we're having throughout the state and basically the country, drought issues and such. And what I personally got out of this conference was the fact that for us to understand our coastal problems within our water issues on the coast, we have to integrate and study the solutions that they've had come up with in Nevada. For instance, the Nevada Water Authority was represented there, and also the chair of the EPA was there. And that the solutions that some of the politicians came up with and the academia came up with in Nevada is just simply amazing. I was just blown away, you know. So I think that the Ocean Outfall Group is going to continue working with the connections that we've made over there. And if you want to kind of stay tuned and updated, you can get on the Ocean Outfall Group website or get on talkaboutthebay@yahoo.com. And Mr. Joey Ricano usually keeps us updated. Thank you. Have a great meeting.
Thank you.
Good evening. Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay, and I'm representing the Ocean Outfall Group as well this evening. And I attended the same conference with Rich in Nevada, and it was an unprecedented conference, taking the first step into implementing the solutions and the new solutions that are coming up for our water problems with the mechanical engineering field. They've been basically left out of the loop, and now all the experts were there to tell us that we think you guys are the ones that are going to put this into action. So it was an incredible conference. The White House was there, executive representative from the White House, senators, congressmen, advisors, the chair of the EPA, the chair of GE. It was about 50 people in total. And by the end of the conference, I found out that almost everybody in the group was a presenter at one of the panels. So they were listening, they were experts listening to one another. And the one thing that they made very clear is how little we know about water. We're just on the threshold of that. In Las Vegas, they have 100% recycled water in the way that they've done their system there. And the need to conserve and set up systems that are recycling water are absolutely essential to the well-being of the planet with the global warming situation that we have coming up here. Anyway, I'm excited for Morro Bay and the time that we have that may be a difficult time, but a very exciting time as far as water goes with our wastewater treatment upgrade and other issues that we have in our town. The main thing that they kept saying over and over again was we need innovation and collaboration. Regional interaction between the different disciplines and sharing of information, simple phone calls back and forth between agencies and what have you. But innovation and collaboration is number one, and we are looking for funds, grant funds, that are out there in abundance right now for pilot programs. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with you. And I'd like to also say that Ocean Outfall Group endorses Betty Winholtz and Jeff O'Dell. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is Keith Taylor, resident of Morro Bay, friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department. As most of you know, on Saturday the 28th, from 11 till 2, the Morro Bay Fire Department is going to have an open house. And we invite all the public and the candidates and naturally the council, because you're going to be doing a ribbon-cutting ceremony for our new temporary fire station. We're going to have Morro Bay Fire Department, the Police Department, Harbor Department, and the California Highway Patrol is going to have their helicopter there. It's going to be we're going to have a vehicle extrication demonstration, technical rescue demonstration, and then a helicopter rescue practice at Coleman Park. You get a chance to tour the new temporary fire station. There's going to be a barbecue of hot dogs, and we'll have water and chips and the world-famous cupcakes by Betty Forsyth and Grace Paletti, and Molly Mason is making cookies. So it's going to be a really neat thing, and it's all free. So that's a real good thing. So we just like to have everyone come because it's just going to be a great day. And you get to meet all your firemen, policemen, and get to know them on a personal basis. We're lucky to have such a great department. And I just like to have everyone in the community come and meet these people that take care of us every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith.
Hello, Madam Mayor, Council, Chief, and staff. My name is Rick Grantham, candidate for Morro Bay City Council. It's hard to believe this is our last council meeting before the election. We've had two lengthy candidate forums, and it's been a great opportunity to share my views and allow the citizens of Morro Bay to know all of us. You have a diverse group of candidates to choose from, all of whom have shared their love for Morro Bay. Remember to vote for one mayor, two council people, and yes on Measure Q. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, council members, and the city staff. I'm Peter Candela, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. I just have a couple of things to say. Number one, I'd like to thank the volunteers who came out on Friday, Ed Biagini, Embarcadero Inn, John Wise from Coastal Electronics, Gary and Nancy Johnson from Morro Bay Beautiful, and Jerry from the Fireman's Muster Committee. They all came out, and we removed the lights from the $5 to get you a plaque, and we'll put it at the base of the light. The other item is to just to kind of let you know the lighted boat parade is on and very, very strong. This year we have actually may be the first time that we have a tall ship that's going to participate in our lighted boat parade. They're actually going to lead it off. It's the Lady Washington coming on November 30th, and we'll be staying through, I believe, the 3rd of December. So I think it'll be quite an event. I think it'll be a media event, and we'd love to have your support. Support being, of course, sponsorship. There's three different levels. It's called the captain's. It's number one is $250. First mate is $150, and deckhand is $100. And if you want a little more detail what you get, you can come to the chamber and take a look at some of the benefits of being a sponsorship for the event. I can't emphasize enough how the chamber needs your support in volunteers and in the activities. We have a full list of activities this year. Just come into the chamber, look on the wall. You'll see through February, and there's 9 posters up there, posters being on the things that we are planning on doing and what we have to do. So come in and take a look and see what we have. And certainly on Saturday, we have a ribbon cutting at the fire department. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and City Council members. My name is Ilona Ng. I used to live in this community many years ago. Right now I live in San Luis Obispo. And the reason I came all the way out here to discuss this measure that sits in front of me, Measure J, is because I need your help. All of us need your help desperately. I want to be able to preserve our right as communities to make the decision ourselves as how we want to see our communities develop. One of the things I loved about living here in Morro Bay, where my daughter attended the schools and graduated from the high school here, is the small community that abound here. I used to come to the International Folk Festival, and I'd wonder, where did all these parents come from? How come they can all be here to support their children? Don't they have jobs? Aren't they supposed to be someplace? But you know what? The people of Morro Bay always showed up for those things. That and all the other events that occurred. And that's what made it really rich. And what I'm afraid is going to happen is that the entire county is going to have a decision on creating one of the largest malls in this area that will affect not just, you don't go and eat fish at a nationwide chain. It's each restaurant is different and adds a character that makes Morro Bay unique. And I want to preserve that. I want to preserve this community as well as my own town of San Luis Obispo and all the other communities around. Thank you so much for letting me have an opportunity to speak to all of you.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Kransdorf from San Luis Obispo. While we did remember to bring our no in Measure J sign, I also had a no on Measure J shirt, and that I did not remember. In less than 3 minutes, where does one begin to talk about Measure J? I'll see if I can focus on three items. The one question that's been asked is on the environmental impact report. If any of you read Bob Cuddy's article in Sunday's Tribune, I'm quoting from that, so you needn't take my word. The project does not fall under the California Environmental Quality Act. In the normal government process, CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, is triggered by a request to amend the general plan and approve a project review. Measure J eliminates that requirement because it is a citizens' initiative. Because it does not go through traditional county procedures such as general plan review and thus is not subject to CEQA, the Delidio Ranch project will not face any public hearings at the County Planning Commission or Board of Supervisors. It also avoids environmental review by the county and specific review by the county staff on such matters as architecture, signs, and landscaping. Second item a lot of people have raised as well, didn't in the city of San Luis Obispo, didn't those who wanted to override the city council go to the people as well? Yes, we did. But there are two essential differences. One, the initial action was taken by the city council. The people then got thousands of signatures to override that decision. In other words, the entire review process went forward. This is going to short-circuit the process as an initiative.
The second matter, of course, which you all know and which Ilona Ng referred to, is that the people who are primarily affected in the city of San Luis Obispo will be about 20 or at the most 25% of the electorate. The other 70 to 75% will be from throughout the county. And as was asked a moment ago, do you really, if this happens in Walmart, down in South County, you have another large project. It really is essentially up to the people of this county. It's up to you. It's up to the people of Morro Bay what kind of county you want you and your children and your children's children to live under. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. My name is Jim Nance, and I'm a citizen and resident of Morro Bay. I received a mailing in the, with a lot of other junk mail, in the mail on a major Q. I just don't feel that it's right to give more money to a government that is having problems budgeting the money they have. I would like to see more physical responsibility at City Hall before they get any more money. I'd like to see them cut back on a few things, like management. Seems like we've got, nowadays, the idea is to have 10 chiefs for every Indian. I'm totally opposed to this idea. When I see the responsibility of the city and the city becoming responsible, I'd be willing to give them more money. One way, though, a good way could to got the funds, for instance, for the sewer, would have been to get more money from the developers who have left this town with $500,000 on every project they worked on. Every unit they built, they've in the last couple of years, they've left town with $500,000. We should have got a share of that to pay for our sewer and other infrastructures, the streets. It seems like the people on the top are making a lot of money and not paying their share, and then they're coming down and nickel and diming the citizens to death in order to pay for this this infrastructure. It's nice to have the latest toys and tools, but we have to live within our budget. Another thing is, this will bring us $750,000. That would pay the city manager's salary for 7 years. Wouldn't even be a drop in the bucket for a fire station or any real things that we need. The sewer, for instance. We've got to find other ways to get the money the city needs. Thank you.
Thank you.
With its own police force, fire department, water, sewer, and power. This became a reality, this dream, and it is our legacy. This caring community, with its helping hands, has a way of finding your better nature and contributing their ideas and talents to help the future. You just heard from the Chamber of Commerce. They have 7 activities for 2007. I can hardly wait. This caring community, with its helping hands, knows that an emergency can strike children, teens, adults, seniors, and a community unawares. Katrina can happen here. The earthquake of December 2003 did. And one minute I was having lunch with my husband, and the next minute I was calling 911. Emergency response time is important. Police protection is basic, and paved roads make all things work. These services need to be provided now, in the present. The past is gone, and the future is still on the way. Today is all we have. I will contribute to this caring community with its helping hands by paying the increased sales tax of 5 cents on every $10 to save our services. My little ceramic purse, you may have a piggy bank, holds the pennies that I would have paid if the sales tax were in effect now. I'm not going to give it to the business. I'm going to keep it here and give it after it passes. My gift to this caring community is voting yes, our Measure Q. Would you join me and secure our today by voting yes on Measure Q? a few pennies to protect our family, friends, neighbors, and property now, its value is priceless. If you have any questions about Measure Q, you can call me at 772-0792 or come to Spencer's Thursday, October 26th from 3 to 5 and we'll learn more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Monique Nelson. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. First, I would also like to remind everyone of the EPA hearing tomorrow here at the Vets Hall at 6 p.m. To get more information, you can go to CAPE's website at www.morrobaypowerplant.org off of what the old power plant gave off. According to EPA standards, any increase of more than 15 tons per year is significant. And again, LSP is asking for an increase of 76. CAPE, a local citizens group that I'm involved with, believes the increase will be significantly more than this. Still, using Duke's own figure, or LSP, now LSP's own figure, 76 tons more particulate matter per year is a lot more pollution for Morro Bay. In fact, it's an increase of 60% over the old plant. The proposed new plant would also produce other air pollutants, but the hearing tomorrow deals only with this one, particulate matter, or more specifically, PM10. PM10 is particulate matter that's 10 microns in diameter or smaller. I can't really say how small a micron is, except it's naked to the it's invisible to the naked eye. Many of us remember the little black specks on our houses and cars from the power plant. It's a well-known fact that PG&E used to pay people regularly to have their cars repainted from the damage these specks caused. At least those specks you could see. PM10 are even smaller. This makes them more dangerous because they can actually be inhaled into our lungs. PM10 are known to cause heart disease, lung disease, asthma, and even premature death. Children and the aged are especially vulnerable to the effects of PM10. This is another case where our laws have not caught up to our science. Changes in legislation are being proposed to require higher standards to protect people from PM10 pollution, but it isn't there yet. That's why it's up to us, the citizens of Morro Bay, and the city council members that represent us to show up at the EPA hearing tomorrow. We need to tell them we're worried about PM10 and we don't want any increases. There are things the power plant can do. For instance, it can use newer, less polluting turbines. We all know the EPA has its own rules and regulations to follow, but we also know that every government and large agency has huge discretion in the enforcement of those rules. So please, come to the EPA hearing tomorrow and demand that they be enforced fully and completely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's David Nelson, citizen of Morro Bay. I brought this to show you people. I listened to the debates the other night and heard the three people that are running for office. Now, two of the people still defend their negotiations and signing these deals with Duke. Here we are. We topped the state with asthma. Well, we saw what a bad deal it was for our estuary, and the group that I'm associated with, CAPE, has done a lot to preserve our estuary. You people took $2 million to stay away from regulation. You backed off. You're our government. We depend on you to go to government and say, wait a minute, you're wrong. You're not doing this right. As Monique's pointing out, there's a lot of new studies on particulate matter, and we've put them into the record, and I know that Mr. Schultz has seen them. We're not making the science up. This is true stuff. This is dangerous. Particulate matter is dangerous. That's what this article is telling you, that this we're the highest in the state, and now we're going to get 60% more. And this particulate matter is the stuff that drops on us. It may migrate. We don't know how far it migrates, but we know that it's going to drop from the space on us. And you gave up our right for a mere $2 million, which if you break that down, it's a small percentage of that because we already get real estate tax, gas tax, and all of that. So you got a guarantee for maybe $250,000, and you've given up our right to fight the EPA for permits like this. Now, all you would have to do is waltz in and say, we can't see a 60% increase in this pollution. And the way that the pollution's been calculated is way off, and if you come to the meeting tomorrow night, CAPE will give a presentation. We've already submitted our comments in length on the shortcomings of the CEC process, because our government, you, Ms. Peters, and you, Mr. Pierce, were negotiating these deals where the city's going to back off and let the agencies take care of us. Well, we know how the agencies take care of us, only to the tune of how loud our government says, wait a minute, this isn't right. This isn't right, adding 60% particulate matter in light of all the studies of the danger of particulate matter. We're talking about adding on to a plant that has an oil burning license that is calculated in there. So you people, when you go out campaigning, you tell people how good it is, but start calculating what we're losing for that mere $2 million. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Colleen Johnson. And as most of you know, a new power plant may be built just north of the old power plant. Last year, a study was conducted comparing the health of children who lived near power plants versus those who did not live near power plants. The results showed that those who lived near 6 miles from the power plant. Our high school is not 3 miles from the power plant. Our high school is just a few hundred yards from the power plant. And in addition to all of the Morro Bay students that we have here, the Los Osos students come to Morro Bay to attend school under the smokestacks. Our students go to school here. Our football team, tennis team, and all the other school teams breathe in the emissions as they exercise. This cannot be good. So if you are concerned about the 6 mile radius of pollution around the power plant, and if you're concerned about our children's health, I urge you to attend the EPA meeting tomorrow night, Tuesday, October 24th, here at the Vets Hall at 6 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
To the City Council and to the people of Morro Bay, my name is Peter Risley. I'm resident of Morro Bay. I'm very concerned about the present state of finances of our city. 2 years ago, our city council, at a city council meeting, we were told that our emergency fund was not half empty, it was half full. I see an empty glass now. Previously, our city finances were the envy of every city in California, with over $2 million in the emergency fund. Now we are told that we have an emergency fund, but it looks like smoke and mirrors to me. As does our whole city budget. I attribute our present plight with the actions of the present and past council majority, which has not lived up to its fiduciary duties. If the present majority continues this policy, no tax increase will solve our financial difficulties. Until we have a council majority that spends our resources responsibly, I cannot support a tax increase. First, get a responsible council. The city must be responsible and transparent in its purchases of land. This was not the case with the Brannigan property purchase. It was a speculative purchase without a clear policy for its future use. That over $2 million purchase put at risk our city.
Members of the council, my name is John Barta, and I'm one of the 800 fellow citizens who have put measures R-06 and S-06 on the ballot. You know, there's been a little bit of spin out there in the community on this, and so I thought I'd resort to an old legal term. It's called res ipsa loquitur. And what the Latin means is the thing speaks for itself. So what I'm going to do now is read to you the very words of measures R06 and measure S06, the policy statements. Here's the actual words. Policy of full-term service. Election to public office in the city of Morro Bay creates a covenant to serve to the best of one's ability the full term of that office before seeking alternate public office. Without the enactment of this ordinance, when a council member in the middle of their term moves to an alternate office, they also deny the citizens of Morro Bay the right to vote for the person who will fill the vacancy created by that move. If a council member wishes to run for alternate office before his or her term has expired, he or she should resign from their seat so the voters may elect their replacement in an orderly manner. Those are the words of Measure R06. Measure S06, policy of majority vote. It is the policy of the City of Morro Bay that its citizens shall have the greatest possible opportunity to elect their elected officials by majority vote and to have the largest possible field of qualified candidates. The limiting of our regular municipal election to a single election in November works against that policy because the votes cast by electors may be split among a large field of candidates. In such circumstance, the candidates receiving the highest number of votes may be elected, even though they fall far short of majority support. Additionally, otherwise qualifying candidates may be discouraged from running in a single November election for fear of splitting the vote with other good candidates. By conducting regular municipal elections on the same day as the statewide primary election, we allow ourselves an unlimited field of candidates to run for office, with the best of those candidates advancing to a runoff in the November election if they do not receive a majority vote in the primary election. Like I said, res ipsa loquitur. The thing speaks for itself. Please read your ballot measure statement and then vote yes on measures R06 and S06. And by the way, don't forget to vote for two candidates for council. You have two votes, use them both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Peters, members of council. My name's Ed Biagini, and I'm here as a business owner here in town. First of all, Councilwoman DeMeritt, I want to let you know that if there's a hotel in there, and while she ran a little bit late, she made a terrific PowerPoint presentation on the upcoming master plan of the San Luis Botanical Garden. And if you haven't had a chance, it was mentioned her making that PowerPoint presentation to the City Council here maybe after the first of the year. And when that opportunity comes up, I hope you will take advantage of it, because this is something that if it comes to fruition, and it's already started, that by the year 2013, we are going to have, a huge 154-acre botanical garden 5 miles south of us, and what an attraction it's going to be for people all over the world. So I encourage you to take that opportunity to see that PowerPoint. And then finally, I wanted to invite everybody this Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, because we have the famous Public Services Director, Mr. Bruce Ambo, has been kind and gracious enough to come down and address us with regards to your terrific new signage program that is about to be implemented here with regards to directing visitors and residences to different things throughout the city. I'm really looking forward to Bruce being there, and I wanted to say that Bruce has arranged this coming Wednesday for myself and him and probably Neil Farrell to meet at Caltrans to meet with their signage, their off-ramp signage guy. And we're going to make an effort to incorporate changing the exit signs in Morro Bay to coordinate hopefully with the directional signs within Morro Bay, and actually get people want to take an exit and an off-ramp to come in to see how beautiful everything is in Morro Bay. So thank you very much, Bruce, and we look forward to Wednesday and Thursday in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Jeff O'Dell, candidate for mayor, longtime Morro Bay resident. Only two more weeks to go, and this election season ends. This will be the last time that we get a free shot at airtime on public access television as candidates. I'm with the rest of the citizens, I'm sure. I look at the pile of stuff that's come in the mail in the last few weeks, and I say, thank God it's almost over. I'd just like to take a minute to thank all of my fellow candidates. I think I was very proud of the fact that all of our forums and all of our interactions with each other have been issues-oriented and of a very high caliber. I think we've all shown a lot of class before the public when we've answered questions and dealt with each other. Yeah, I'd just like to say that we're lucky that we live in this country. We're lucky that we're able to vote. We're lucky that a guy like me can campaign and run for office. And I just hope that every single person out there votes. It's the one shot we have at a voice, And if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Roger Ewing, Morro Bay resident. And I'd like to echo what Jeff just said. I think all of the candidates have shown that Morro Bay truly is a fine community to live in, and that we do have respect and concern for each of us as citizens and as individuals. I'd like to speak on a non-political issue for a change. Recently, I am speaking now as a member of the Public Works Advisory Board. In the past few months, we've had meetings canceled. And I understand the reason for those cancellations, staff being ill, fortunately now being well. However, there are many issues that face this city that come from Public Works Department, which Public Works Advisory Board could discuss. Each of our commissions and boards are a conduit to the citizenry. We are a public avenue by which government information is disseminated to the citizens. So we, as a free citizen, know what's going on in our community, knowing how our government is run. Public Works Advisory Board can serve a purpose other than following a preset agenda by merely giving information to the citizenry, having an open discussion on issues that affect all of us. Wastewater treatment plant for one, upgrade of our sewer lines for another, street repair for another. The citizens are constantly concerned, but we never get a chance to discuss. And I would like to see you five come up with a policy decision on why and how meetings are canceled. One of our members did not even know that the meeting was canceled. So please, let's not fall into the trap of disconnect between government and citizenry. Give us a policy. If we don't have a set agenda, at least allow us the opportunity to carry on discussions on issues that affect the citizenry. Something to think about. It's merely a request. It's merely a suggestion.
Comments? Yep. Okay. It's almost 7, so let's take a short break, and we'll have our public hearings. Thank you.
And buy kites.